Good. Well, before we go into the next step of along the way that Joseph had to go in his destiny, the next test he faced, which was the prison test, or if you like, you can call it perseverance test. I just want to backtrack just a tiny bit. I didn't get time to do this last time, so I'd like, but I still feel like I'd like to read you this account. Because we read the scripture, which I've put on screen as you can see, 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetousness, those who are covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. But, and then a bit further along it says, in 1 Corinthians 6:11-15-17, and such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, he saith, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. So, even amongst the early church in those days, when amongst the people in Paul's fellowships, Timothy's fellowships, and the others at that time, people were saved, and they'd been, all the scripture before about, you know, covetous and all the rest of it, amongst them, they all filled those different criterias. But, like it says here, such were some of you, but you're washed. So there's hope, isn't it? So while it says you can't enter, change your position, get washed and come to Jesus, hallelujah, by the blood of the Lamb. And I was looking through one of the song books that Karen's got with all sheet music in, and it's a well-known song, saying, you know, 10,000 reasons. And alongside of it, there's printed this testimony. And it fits in quite well, because these people here, they fitted into the category of some of those that we just read about that weren't going to inherit. But they'd come to the grace of God and become born again. And I'd just like to read it to you. And it's called The Barley Nine Executed As They Sang 10,000 Reasons. Forget winning 2 Grammy Awards and a stint at the top of the Billboard Christian Songs chart. 10,000 Reasons is a song that made the news recently for an even more surprising reason. On the 29th of April 2015, 8 convicted drug traffickers were executed in a maximum security prison of Nusa Kambangan, Indonesia. Having been sentenced to death years earlier, they were given just a few days' notice of their execution. But the long years in prison had changed them. 7 had become Christians. By all accounts, wrote Brian Houston, senior pastor at Hillsong, of 2 of the Australians in the group, they've not only accepted the mercy and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, but also rehabilitated themselves to be upstanding members of the prison system. Even in jail, they made a positive contribution to the lives of other prisoners and sought to pay their debt to society. And so they died as they had learned to live, praising God. They sang hymns like Amazing Grace in their final hours and refused to wear blindfolds as they faced the firing squad. And the final seconds of their lives counted down, they started to sing a new song, 10,000 Reasons. Wow. It was breathtaking, said Pastor Karina De Vega, who was assigned to counsel one of the men. This was the first time I witnessed someone so excited to meet their God. For Matt Redman, co-writer of 10,000 Reasons, hearing the news had a profound effect. I felt majorly encouraged that this little song had found its way out there. But I also thought how astounding an example of worship is that. When people call someone like me a worship leader, it's almost a joke compared to people facing a loaded gun and still singing out unto Jesus. Mm-hmm. It made me realise that you can face anything in this life and still sing a song of worship on your lips, anything. And it reminded me that these songs have a habit of showing up in the most unlikely places. We've heard story after story of that song helping people, and about 15 different people have told me how they were asked to play it to a loved one as they died. So it brings back things into perspective. It keeps it all centred and level. 10,000 Reasons had an unlikely beginning. If it had been up to me, the song wouldn't have even been on the album. That's the most brilliant thing of all. Jonas Marin had a bit of a melody, and we wrote the song really quickly. But I still thought it was a bit folky and didn't think, if it was finished. There was no pre-chorus, no bridge. And I thought it might also be a bit too hymny for the record. But when we played it to Nathan Knuckles, the producer, he said, I don't care what we're dropping from the album, but that song's going on. And that was when I first had an inkling that there was something to this song. It goes to show that I don't really know anything at the end of the day, but I like it. That is good. So here we had guys in prison faced. They weren't just locked up for years, they were actually facing death penalty. But what a difference receiving the Lord had made. And also with it, the song, you know, you pen something down, you don't even think it's that brilliant. You weren't even going to put it in the album. But if somebody said, no, I feel you should, you know, that, you're not dropping that. It goes out around the world. And people have been touched. And there are loads of hymns and songs like that, aren't there? But I thought it was quite interesting that them being in prison and Joseph being in prison, we've been talking about as well, and keeping the right attitude. So, let's move on. Test 5, the prison test. Joseph passed the purity test with honours. And if you remember last time, we looked at that and how he'd fled from Potiphar's wife. He had chosen to do the right thing, and when temptation became too great, he ran away from it. He chose to honour God. If we look at Genesis 39:6-12, it says, Joseph was a very handsome, well-built young man, and Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. Come and sleep with me, she demanded. But he refused. Look, he told her, my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. He has held back nothing from me except you, because you're his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God. And she kept putting pressure on Joseph day after day, but he refused to sleep with her, and he kept out of her way as much as possible. So he had the right idea. He kept out of her way. He wasn't putting himself in the way of danger. And one day, however, no one else was around when he went in to do his work. And she came and grabbed him by his cloak, demanding, come on, sleep with me. And Joseph tore himself away, but he left his cloak in her hands and ran from the house. So Joseph did what was right and had every reason to expect the blessing of the Lord on his life. You know, he'd come that close, the woman actually grabbed him, and she was used to getting what she wanted. She was Potiphar's wife. They were high up in the hierarchy in Egypt and that, and she wanted it. She got what she wanted. Now, you can imagine how she felt. She'd been rejected by, you know. And if we look at Genesis 39:13-20, and when she saw she was holding his cloak and he'd fled, she called out to her servants. Soon all the men came running. Look, she said, my husband has brought this Hebrew slave here to make fools of us. He came into my room to rape me, but I screamed. And when he heard me scream, he ran outside and got away, but he left his cloak behind with me. She kept the cloak with her until her husband came home. Then she told him her story, that the Hebrew slave you brought into our house tried to come in and fool around with me, she said. It was quite the opposite, wasn't it? But when I screamed, he ran outside, leaving his cloak with me. And Potiphar was furious when he heard his wife's story about how Joseph had treated her. So he took Joseph and threw him into the prison where the king's prisoners were held. And there he remained. The immediate results of obedience are not always what we would expect to see. Obedience to God is no guarantee that bad things will not happen to us. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him." So you will get something. You will get the crown of life. But that comes at the end of the road, doesn't it? That's not immediate. And 1 Peter 1:7, "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 4:12 and 13 as well. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. And if we want the presence of God in our lives, we have to choose to do the right things. Sometimes we will do the right thing and get the wrong results. When this happens, we're going through the prison test or the perseverance test, which could also be, and it may last for many years. And that sounds so contradictory. People expect their things to happen very quickly for them. And people, you hear them, and sadly, we could all do it. We get into a situation where we just bemoan our lot, you know, and we expect, oh, it should be different to this, and why am I going through all this, and, you know, I believe the Lord, but this isn't happening, and it goes on into, but no, that's not what the word says. In fact, we're told to rejoice, and I'll come to that. Joseph was in prison for 10 years. It was long and a painful period. It looked like there were no rewards for being obedient to God. And during this period, Joseph learned perseverance. And God had a big destiny for Joseph. And big destinies must be supported by big character. Character is to do with your heart. And Joseph was going to need the character trait of perseverance. It was during a prison test that God gave Joseph the grace to persevere. You think about it, he was in there 13 years altogether. It was a long time. And Joseph, although suffering unjustly, continued to do the right thing. And I've had to ask myself, you know, would I continue to do the right thing? Found banged up in the prison down the road there, not far from where we are here, and that for something I hadn't done right. In fact, I'd done everything perfectly right. I'd acted justly. And then I've been falsely accused. I've been thrown in prison because somebody doesn't want to look to like they were up to mischief, so they blame me. And then all these years go by. Am I going to still be praising the Lord and giving him glory and witnessing about him and thanking him for what I'm going through? Or am I going to be bemoaning my luck? Colossians 3:22-25. Bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he's done, and there is no partiality. So the scripture says, obey your masters and everything. And Joseph was there in the prison. And we'll see in a minute just how well he did. And he was put in charge. He had the right attitude. He wasn't trying to undermine the system and things like that. And let's look at Genesis 39:21-23. "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. And he gave him favour in the sight of the prison keeper. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Hallelujah. And that's all about having the right attitude, keeping the right focus, regardless of what's going on around you. Joseph did not allow the unjust circumstances he was enduring to stop God working in his life. No matter how difficult or unfair the circumstances we endure, it is important that we continue to do right in the sight of God and allow him to use us. Some people want the circumstances to change before they will serve God. Well, it'll never happen. Unless a person demonstrates complete commitment to allow God to move through them by being obedient to God's word and instruction, their circumstances will not change and they will not progress in their God-ordained destiny. Romans 5:3-5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, I'd like to look at some of those words in that portion of scripture there. I'd like to look at the word glory, tribulations, patience, experience and hope. I'd just like to look at what the Greek actually says and give you the information, and you can go and look at it for yourself if you want to take that further. But glory actually means to rejoice. So it says, but we rejoice in tribulations. And if you look at it, the word is kokamo ahi, I think something like that. It's Strong's number 2744 in his concordance. And the definition is from obsolete base, akin to that of to boast and to vaunt in a good or bad sense, to make, boast, glory, joy, rejoice. So boast in the tribulation, glory in the tribulation. Wow, praise the Lord, this is doing a work in me. You know, I'm praising the Lord that this I'm going through this because I know I'm going to come out of this having gained in the Lord. That's a different attitude to what we often face, isn't it? But that's the way we should be. That's the way we should line ourselves up. So what's tribulations? Tribulation equals pressure / trouble. And that's Thlipsis, Strong's number 2347, from 2346. You can look those numbers up yourself. Pressure, literal or figurative, afflicted or affliction, anguish, burdened, persecution, tribulation, trouble. It covers the whole realm of those things. So whether it's anguish you're going through, whether you're being persecuted, whether it's trouble, and that, praise the Lord, rejoice in it, offer it to him, rejoice. And what comes out of it? We need patience. And patience equals joyful endurance. And that's hupomahe, I believe, Strong's 5281. And it means cheerful or hopeful endurance, constancy, enduring patience, patient continuance, waiting. Praise the Lord. So it's joyful patience. It's not just, oh, I'll patiently wait and that. But no. It's with a joy. It's with an expectation. Experience equals trustiness. It's dokime, Strong's number 1382. And it means test, abstract or concrete, by implication, trustiness, experience, experiment, proof, trial. That's what it encompasses. And that's the experience that it's talking about. And what comes out of it? Hope. Anticipate with pleasure. Oh, I hope I'm going to be all right. I hope this will all work. I've been praying. I'm just like, no. You've got it all wrong. If you want strength, it says the joy of the Lord is your strength, the scripture tells us. You know, we've got to change our position in all this. We've got to get the right attitude. We've got to have the right character towards these things. And that. So our hope needs to be a hope filled with joy. And it means literally to have confidence, faith, and to hope. Praise the Lord. So, we are to pray for tribulation, and when it comes, to rejoice in it and allow that tribulation to do the work of God in our lives. It's like a lumpet, we need it. And the scripture says Jesus learned through the things he suffered in the flesh. John 15, 1 to 2. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. How often do we just read past that? Oh, takes it away. So what happens if I don't bear fruit? And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Hallelujah. You know, and pruning can be a bit painful sometimes. That bit was blossoming well, Lord. Oh, Lord, why did you stop that happening? Look, well, let's talk about me, okay? Lord, I was out the front there. I'd been playing these choruses here. And Lord, you've cut it all dead. You've let someone stand up and just cut it off. And yet, Lord, it was blossoming. And I thought we were going to go places in you this morning with it. Oh, you know, Andre, you've got some things to learn. I want to prune that so as next time you can bring more fruit. Here we have a good vine and a bad vine. Both get cut. The difference being the bad get cut off and the good get cut and pruned so that it will produce more fruit. This is why Joseph, having done the right thing, ended up being pruned. You know, Joseph had gone through the trials when he started out. He had pride in his heart and he went through the pit. And he ended up being sold off in Egypt and then ended up being in charge of Potiphar's house. Wow, what? And then suddenly things seemed to be going well. For a slave, he was in a fantastic position. And then, wow, the next thing he's thrown into prison for something he didn't do. And he's being pruned. Because God had a plan for that pruning as he was working towards Joseph being able to handle his destiny. And there's something greater along the way. Hallelujah. And we need to remember that when we're being pruned. It's not because just for the sake of it. It's because there's something better to come. James 1, 2 to 3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Patience and perseverance both involve waiting. The difference being that perseverance demands fighting the good fight of faith while waiting. Perseverance is only gained by going through long, difficult trials. It goes beyond just contently waiting. When a trial goes on from weeks to months and even to years, and you still stand in faith, it is the test of perseverance. Joseph's trial lasted more than 13 years, and during this time he will have battled his negative thoughts and kept his focus on God. The earnest waiting on God is perseverance. And we know that he must have kept his focus on God because things came good in the end. And you know, he went, through it all, he learnt how to be able to handle the destiny that God had for him. And there are other people who had to wait. And there's loads in the Word. Let's just look at one or two. David was anointed king of Israel, but it was 13 years before he assumed the throne as a king. And there are people amongst us here of our prophecies and God's given words. You're going to be this or got this or that for you. And the years have gone by and people think, well, I haven't seen that come about yet. Mm-hmm. No, but there's been a path to being able to get to the place where you can handle that destiny. Mm-hmm. And this is what was happening with David. He had things to learn. Paul, in the New Testament, Apostle Paul, after being anointed as an apostle, he had to wait 13 years before going on his first missionary journey. Mm. Well, you know, we read all the accounts and the different things he teaches in the Word. Fantastic. But we forget there was a path to that. Mm. Because we read it in the Word, it's like it all just happened boom, in that one time. Yeah. But there was a period to getting to that point. Abraham. He waited 25 years for the son God had promised him. Moses waited 40 years in the wilderness before he entered his destiny. And God had to deal with Moses. If you look at the life of Moses, you know, from when he killed the soldier and everything else, and that went on. He needed to learn some things to be able to get to the place where he could handle the destiny that God had for him and leading the people out. So often people become bitter towards those who cause them difficulty, and even bitter towards God. And that's why it's important to keep your heart right, keep your focus right. And Joseph kept his heart right. He kept his focus on God, and he persevered. The perseverance resulted in character. Tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. And character can only be produced through perseverance. Character is essential in supporting the destiny God has for us. And God will not allow you, me, anybody, to step into our destiny until we have a certain level of character. Because when you step into your destiny, the level of warfare against you is going to increase. And people say that, well, I only gave a testimony, I thought I'd step out and do it. Next thing I know, I find, wham, I leave the meeting, or even before I've left church, somebody's had a go at me. Mm-hmm. You know, and it doesn't take long before very often you find the pressure is piled back on. And you will need strong character to endure that warfare, to persevere and walk that destiny out to its end. Without character, you will never succeed in the destiny God has planned for you. How often have you seen someone go through a difficult time and wanted to rush in and deliver him or her out of it? It's a natural thing, isn't it? And I know you've heard Don tell the story how he wanted to help me out and at one time that. And the Lord had to say to him, no, leave him alone. You know, and you see it around you all the time. There are so many things you could rush in and help and deal with. But that isn't necessary. What the Lord wants, you're just getting in the way. Get out my way, the Lord says, you know. And so often compassion moves us and we rush to assist. That is fine when it's the compassion of God at work. But we need to stop and check with him if there is some greater work being done. Like a song says, Lord, keep me in your will so I won't be in your way.
Amen.
And those are so true words. If a good, well-meaning Christian comes along and delivers a person out of a situation, circumstance or difficulty, they will never learn the lesson God wants them to learn. Soon enough, they end up back in the same situation again. They will have to keep taking the test again. Until they pass the test, they cannot move to the next stage of their journey to destiny. And you see that, you watch people going round and round in circles. You know, sometimes people bail them out, you know, but it doesn't do any good. They're back there again. You just wasted your time, your effort. Been better to have said, Lord, what should I do? You know, and had a hearing ear and stuff and that. But we all do it at times. And sometimes we end up going around in circles for a lot of years before we twig, hang on a minute, it's time I actually changed here. This Lord's teaching us something. I need to learn that lesson. I need to submit. I need to yield, you know. Hebrews 5:8. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And that's referring to Jesus. Hebrews 2:18. For in that he himself had suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. And Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. As the Son of God, Jesus didn't have to learn obedience. If he hadn't come into human flesh and walked that path, he didn't have to learn obedience. He was obedient to the Father. Whatever the Father wanted to do, he did it. He wanted something created. Jesus was the one. He'd get out and he'd do it. He was the right hand, God's right hand. Not only God's Son, but God's right hand, your person. But he had to come into human flesh. But that's the only way he could experience what you and I go through. It's the only way he could understand it. It's the only way he could overcome it, which he did. Praise the Lord. So he had to go through trials. And so when we talk to him and we say, Lord, you know, this is tough, he understands, he knows. And as Jesus suffered, he learned obedience. Obedience is a character issue, and character can only be learned not imparted. Joseph had a tremendous God-given leadership ability. And throughout Joseph's life, every situation he was in, he rose to a position of authority. He made a success of every situation. Jesus and Joseph both had the favour of God on their lives, but it was the God-given ability that equipped them to handle the job he had for them. When you have a special gift, it's easy to lean on that gift rather than on God. And I know that just from, you know, well, I'm sure you'll do as well, but I know the difference. I know because I plays the guitar and sings choruses and leads what you could just turn up and rely on that gift. And there are times when you've been hit by circumstance and your time that you wanted to spend was rocked. And you come in and you do lean on that gift and God's gracious, the Spirit moves and you're surprised. But that's not because you chose to not wait, you know. But if you don't wait, if you don't spend time with whatever ministry you've got, whatever gift you've got, if you don't spend time on it and with it and minister with it, very soon you will actually become dull. And that without drawing close to the Lord and letting him move through that gift, it just dries up. It's still there. It takes time to reignite it, because it says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. He won't take it away from you, but it needs reviving.
Amen.
And Jesus said that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. Wow. So in the time Jesus was in the flesh amongst us, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me. So he'd learnt some things in that time. You know, he had to learn, just like we've got to learn. Sometimes we don't get that concept in our mind of just how much he had to learn. And how difficult that must have been for him, you know, having been gone from one dimension to another, and then finding yourself in human flesh, and then walking the path we walk. Wow, and not only that, with all that at his fingertips, and having to lay it down. You know, he said, I could call, you know, legions of angels right now to help me. You know, but he didn't. No, he had to learn, he had to put himself in our position. Genesis 47-15. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him, this is Joseph it's talking about. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his Lord's house, saying, why do you look so sad today? And they said to him, we each had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. So Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please. Then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, behold, in my dream a vine was before me. And in the vine there were three branches, and it was as though it budded. Its blossoms shot forth and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. Now we see Joseph moving in his anointing and in the gift God had given him, to suddenly moving into the flesh here. And suddenly he says, but remember me when it's all over, and please show kindness to me. Make mention to me of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. For I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and I've done nothing wrong. I shouldn't be here, that they should put me in a dungeon. And so, you know, he was hoping, if I can get the butler to speak good words, I'll get myself out of this situation. Ah. Joseph used his gift while in prison to interpret the dreams of the butler and baker. He asked the butler to remember him, and when he returned to Pharaoh's court. But the work of perseverance that God was doing in his life wasn't finished. Little did Joseph know it at the time, but he would have to wait another 2 years to be delivered. And Jesus was careful when ministering to only say what God wanted him to say. What about Joseph? Well, he used his God-given gift to minister to the butler and the baker, but he also jumped in with his own words, "Remember me to Pharaoh." When Joseph did that, he was trying to manipulate circumstance. And if God had allowed him to be delivered at that time, he would think that man had promoted him. It would be another 2 full years before he was at the place in his development where God could bring him out of prison, in Genesis 41 verse 1. And Joseph had to endure those 2 extra years. And how long that time must have felt, because he had a flaw in his character, the tendency to trust in his own abilities. And God had to deal with that flaw before he could step into his destiny. And it's very easy when God gifts you, gives you an ability, you start to learn to do something. And you saw Samson, didn't you? He comes to mind, you know. "I'll go out and I'll do just as I did before. Philistines are upon you, Samson. I'll go out, I'll do it before, I'll push those, you know, I'll sort them out." And what happened? He ended up in bondage, in chains. He couldn't do it. He didn't realise he wasn't moving in the anointing. He was just, he put himself in the wrong place. In order for Joseph to rule as God had chosen best, he had to learn to lean totally, completely and absolutely on God. Our own wisdom, ability, self-confidence, self-sufficiency, self-reliance has to be dealt with before we can enter into God's destiny for our lives. Our own abilities will not get God's job done. No way. It just won't happen. Yes, he will use them, but we will only succeed when fully submitted to God, as our own abilities will not be enough. Just as Joseph had to learn this lesson, so do we. It is only in the midst of deep trials that we start to see things from God's perspective. One comes to a deeper understanding of who we really are and who God is. We learn to respond correctly when troubles come. It is through this process that perseverance produces character in our lives. Character is doing the right thing in the wrong situation, and as character develops, we begin to have hope. And hope sees things from God's perspective, no matter how the circumstances might look. Joseph, on more than one occasion, did the right thing and suffered the wrong results. And Satan has no new tricks. He uses the same ones over and over. But the good news is that we can come to a place in God in our lives where Satan will use them to no effect, praise the Lord. Joseph's attacks of Satan on him. He used Joseph's coat to fabricate evidence that Joseph was killed by wild animals. That's in Genesis 37, 31, 32. He used Joseph's coat to fabricate evidence that he had attempted to rape Potiphar's wife. Genesis 39, verses 12 to 15. Joseph, while going on a job for his father, ended up being thrown into a pit. You see that in Genesis 37. While trying to be a faithful steward for Potiphar, he ended up being thrown into a prison, Genesis 39:20. He interpreted his dreams for his brothers, and they sold him into slavery, Genesis 37:6-10 and 24-30. And Joseph interpreted a dream for the butler, but the butler forgot all about it, Genesis 40:23. Regardless of the situation, though, Joseph kept doing a good job, and he kept interpreting dreams, which opened the door for him to step into his destiny. And you can see there would have been lots of opportunities there. You know, when you had obviously his coat, which was taken from him and stuff, but then you had the interpretations. He had this gift God had given him, and every time he used it, he got into trouble. Sometimes because at first he didn't know how, and pride was in his heart, and he upset his brothers who already had a bad attitude, and that just, you know, fueled the situation and got him into trouble. He tells the butler, and the butler forgot all about it, but God hadn't forgotten. Romans 5:5. Such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us, for God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And Joseph could have missed his divine appointment if he'd allowed his hope to turn to disappointment. Instead, he kept his heart right, kept doing right. Hope brings forth appointments. Because Joseph kept his heart right and kept doing right, he was not disappointed. But rather, he entered his appointment with destiny. In Genesis 40, verses 6 to 7. And Joseph came in to them in the morning and looked at them and saw they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his lord's house, saying, "Why do you look so sad today?" And we spoke of those verses before, but you notice when you're sad yourself and down in the dumps, you don't notice if other people are down in the dumps. You're so consumed with you. You know. You just don't pick up on things, do you? But Joseph noticed they were sad because he'd not allowed his own problems to consume him. He had joy in his heart. He wasn't down in the dumps, even though, you know, he was in a bad situation. And Joseph persevered and allowed character to produce hope in his heart. And because of the hope in his heart, he wasn't focusing on himself. Instead, he was looking to see how he could minister to someone else. It was his ministry to one of his fellow prisoners that would eventually be the key to his deliverance. Mm-hmm. No matter what we go through, we must keep our hope in God. God has divine appointments for us every day. There are people all around us who need God, and God wants us to minister to them. But if we focus only on our own problems and trials, we will miss the appointments that are important to God. If we miss an appointment that is important to God, we miss an appointment that is important to our destiny also. And Joseph's brothers and Potiphar's wife tried to thwart Joseph's destiny. The butler didn't do his part either. Nevertheless, Joseph didn't allow those things to get in the way of his destiny, and he continued to do right. Because he kept doing the right thing, he didn't miss his divine appointment. And there is only one person who can thwart your destiny. It's you. We always like to blame somebody else. It's their fault. If only they'd done this, I'd have been different, it'd have gone. Now, at the end of the day, you're responsible for the way you react in a situation. And how many times, well, I talk about myself, you know, you react in a certain way after you think, "Oh, Andre, you idiot. Here you go again. Don't you ever learn the lesson you've allowed..." You know, your tiredness or whatever, to end up talking through you rather than allowing the goodness and love of the Lord to come forth. You know? And it happens. It happens. We have to learn this, and it's recognising the signs of it. It's taking control of it. It's having that character in us. And we need to learn all that. Otherwise, we can't handle the things that God has for us further down the road until we get through that. And Joseph is a fantastic example to us of how we can persevere, come through tribulation with character and hope. And Joseph is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph went to prison for something he didn't do. Christ suffered for something he didn't do. Joseph was numbered with criminals in prison. And Jesus was numbered with transgressors. It says that in Isaiah 53, verse 12. Joseph was jailed with two prisoners. One was set free, one was condemned. Genesis 40, verses 21-22. Jesus was crucified between two thieves. One received forgiveness and one did not. And you'll find that in Luke 23:33, 39-43. And Joseph said to the butler, "Remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house." But the butler forgot about him. The thief said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Luke 23:42. And Jesus remembered him. And that very day, he was in heaven with him. Luke 23:43. God will never forget you. God always keeps his word. So if you're going through a long, difficult trial, allow that trial to produce perseverance in you. Keep fighting the good fight of faith while waiting with contentment for God's deliverance. Yeah, and I know myself, you know, since 2012 is when I was really ill, but so I was unwell before then. And the things one goes through, you look back and you could give up all hope, you know, and the doctors tell you something, but you don't accept what you're told. And, you know, I thought deliverance would come quick. Mm-hmm. But it's taken years. It's been 9 years already since I last worked. And I've seen God have to do all sorts in me, teach me all sorts, put me in a place where he can deal with me and that. But praise the Lord, you know, I've got hope. I rejoice in him. I thank the Lord. Somebody said to me, so you're happy about that? Yeah, I am. I thank God. I am so glad God didn't leave me carrying on like I was. I'm thankful that my father allowed me to go through things that brought me to a place where I totally broke down, became unwell, and had to go through things, because that work that he was then able to do in me was something that would not have been achieved if Andre had been able to continue as Andre was. Yeah, and that's precious. And I thank God for that. As we allow God to develop his character in us, we will start to do the right thing. No matter how wrong our situation is, we will start to see things from his perspective. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Praise the Lord. God's perspective will always cause us to have hope. And God's hope will not disappoint. It will carry us to our divine appointment with destiny. Praise the Lord. Amen.